welcome to episode 20 of The Punsters. In today's episode, we have the very funny David Zafra. Today's topics include happiest moment ever, marriage, maintaining your identity, and the fear of death. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
I'm having an anxiety attack right now.
I feel bad.
So the weird bubbling people are hearing, that's a hookah.
It's a bong. It's a bong because we're cool. We're hip. We smoke pot.
Smoking weed.
We Does anybody else want some fries? I'm seriously not going to eat these.
Any listeners?
That's how you know we're not smoking, because none of us will finish the fries.
Yeah.
Anyway, our guest this week, David Zafra.
What's up, guys?
Welcome.
Woo!
Yep.
Also, once again, no Raul.
Yay.
Jamie has graciously filled in for him.
Hola.
I thought I was filling in
for him. Hola, soy un bean.
Jesus Christ.
Me llamo Raul Zambrano.
Raul?
Oh, I thought Raul wasn't here, but it sounds...
No, estoy aquí.
It sounds like he's here.
Lo siento, mi hijo.
I don't think I've ever heard Raul speak Spanish.
No.
No sé qué Raul habla. Habla español.
This is an American podcast, and I'll thank you to speak the language.
Okay. Limpio, sí? Limpio su cuarto?
It's fucking whiskey, man. I'm not used to it.
I know, mine still looks very clear. I think I put too much.
There's no, that's not a thing.
That's enough.
What do you mean too much?
Well, you have... Is the... Never mind.
What?
Were you gonna... Was that going somewhere?
Excuse me, David Zafra?
I wasn't going anywhere with this.
Okay, good.
Cool. Great, so what's like going on, guys? How's your life? All of you guys?
What? No, you're not hosting. We're asking you about your life, piece of shit.
Yeah, I'd like you to interview all three of us.
Alright, so starting with Jake. What's going on with you, man? Tell me about your fears and insecurities.
Okay.
this podcast is only so long.
Yeah, right? I'm always terrified that I'm not funny enough.
Okay.
I don't know. You feel the same way ever?
Oh, of course. Wasn't I just telling you and Isaac Allen over there that I feel like I'm the worst comic in San Diego?
Oh, yeah. Which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but... You know, I always like it when people that I think are funny say that they feel insecure about being funny.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel reassured, like, oh, maybe I'm just being dumb, like they are.
I don't know.
Maybe we're both just being dumb. Oh, no. So you're agreeing with me.
No. I think I actually have something going here in terms of, like, maybe I am really the shitty as far as I think I am.
I don't know why you would think that.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm, like other, I don't know. Let's not get into this. It's getting weird now.
We don't have to talk about this if you don't want to talk about it, but it's okay if this podcast
gets
dark right off the bat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's fine. I would not have invited you if I was not okay with
being
dark.
No,
I mean, people don't expect Jake to be funny.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah. Like, so I know that I can do well sometimes, but then when I, like, compare myself to certain other people, I'm just like, well, yeah. I feel like they have a better possibility of getting good eventually.
No, that's the worst idea. As soon as you start doing that, you need to fucking cut it off.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know. I go on and off. It's whatever.
Somebody brought this up, so I feel like I'm being happy by saying... Or no, somebody post... Whatever.
She's not even hungry. I'm just, like, eating fries because they're standing in front of me.
Well, I'm gonna move... I'll throw them across the room.
Damn.
I've had enough of the beam. Anyway, Louis C.K.'s show, Louis, on it, there, I think it was a gift set that I saw where it was like, you should never be looking into your neighbor's bowl to see what they have. You should only ever look in your neighbor's bowl to see if they have enough.
Mm.
Which I feel like in terms of comedy, that's, if you're looking at somebody else and like, they're getting booked a lot, like, that should just be like, that's good, or like, maybe, like, oh, that person doesn't get booked enough. They're
well,
great.
I'm totally
like,
past that point. I understand that people get on things for different reasons, and that's not going to mean anything in a couple of years.
No, I mean, just like, you're comparing yourself to other people, and that won't do you any good.
I just mean in terms of, like, I'm trying to analyze myself to figure out where I need to improve, what I need to do better, and just, you know, certain stuff, I don't like it.
Whatever, that's a good sign.
It's frustrating.
The fact that you're thinking about it all, so many comments don't and are so upset that they're like, why don't... Where are these female comics getting by on their sex jokes? Not that I'm referencing anything.
It's a weird thing to reference out of completely thin air.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
I feel like we jumped into that way too quick.
No, it's fine.
This podcast is about nothing and it's about everything. Don't worry about it.
Cool.
That's our new tagline.
You're welcome, ladies. Feel free to, you don't have to.
It's basically
what?
The Seinfeld of podcasts.
I don't want to sound like a whiny bitch about my comedy. I'm just, that's just the things that I...
No, I mean...
You talked about that, about feeling not funny, and I was like, oh yeah, it reminds me of this other thing that I said to you recently.
Yeah, I think many comics, like every comic that I am reasonably friendly with has told me they're insecure about something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine to talk about that. I think a lot of comics listen to this... Or I should say, most of the listeners are comics. Not that there are a lot of people listening.
Yeah. Do you go through phases where you feel like this, or?
Yeah, pretty much just like every time I go on stage.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Only when you're
Jesus.
On stage.
No, after I get off.
Oh.
Okay. First, I'm really nervous and I want to not go on stage, and then I go on stage and it's good for a little bit, or it's not good for a little bit, and then afterwards I'm like, oh man, that's not.
So you still get really
something.
Nervous and dread it?
Yeah, I was about to throw up at the Comedy Store on Thursday. Like, I was so
what?
Fucking nervous. I seriously came, I actually gagged at one point, while you were on stage. I just couldn't, I was so nervous. And so right before I did
while
like
I was
comedy,
on stage, you were gagging and almost throwing
that's
up.
I was because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And, because I was it was you and then Shane and then me.
Yeah.
So...
I would like to welcome you to the beautiful world of anti-anxiety medication.
So I was really really nervous about that. That still happens to me, even if it's a show that's super unimportant.
That's gnarly. You've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
That's very discouraging for me, because I thought... I mean, I've only done it once, and I felt like that,
but
I thought
I don't
would eventually
feel nervous,
get over it.
If I ever don't feel nervous before I go on stage, I usually eat shit.
Yeah.
So the more nervous I am, the better I usually do.
Jesus.
And I had a pretty good set on Thursday, and I almost threw up right before it happened.
Yeah. No, you did really
so
well.
So I'm willing to take the nervousness just because it means that, this is working for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm actually sponsored by, I'm a pharmaceutical rep, so everybody knows. No.
You were a missionary for anti-anxiety.
Medication. I really am.
Yeah.
I understand the stigma. Or as Maria Bamber says, stigma, and I think of it every time I think of that word. I started taking, like a daily thing. It's not like I'm popping Xanax
yeah.
all the time. And it was the stuff I take was actually developed as an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
And then they figured out it was also really good for anti-anxiety, so I assume that I'm just floating on a fucking cloud at this point.
What is it that you're on again, if you don't mind?
No, Lexapro.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I used to take... different things, but I
yeah.
always feel the same.
Really?
Yeah.
It's you.
People, different people or everybody reacts.
I just think mine's not chemical. I think it's just me.
Well, in that case,
how long did you?
A lot
take
of
it?
You is chemical.
yeah, you're mostly chemical.
No, no, no.
Your
but
brain.
I mean, I don't think I have a chemical imbalance. For years.
And it didn't do anything.
No, I felt the same. I feel the same. I feel the same all the time.
Well, I don't want any of my feelings to go away. I
It's
no,
not
anxious.
Like that.
I like feeling. Just, I don't know, I just, it's weird to, I've been trying to get this thing across to people that I've just been feeling crying a lot all the time
mm-hmm.
recently, and people are worried about me
yeah.
for that, and I'm just no, it's, even though it's not a fun thing to feel
it's
oh
an
man,
emotion
I'm gonna have, yeah,
yeah,
it just fucking, once the whole thing is over and I'm just thinking about it, it feels good to have these
okay.
horrible feelings overtake my body at all times, and then I can just kind of figure out things from there. It's I need the panic in order to feel things are happening, and it helps
okay.
me out for the most part.
All right.
I mean, it's obviously having anxiety and having these depressing, sad feelings is probably not anybody's ideal thing, but I don't know, it just helps me out a little bit.
I mean, if you feel good about your feelings, then I wouldn't want to be fucking take medication.
Well,
but...
I mean, when I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling sad. But then once it's over, then I'm
okay.
Okay, that's something.
Yeah. I mean...
something.
It's something. I just whatever the emotions are, just fucking... I don't know. It's especially since my kids were born, I seriously feel so much more things all the time. And I don't know, it's kind of nice... to have like these like really depressing thoughts and then just kind of think about it for a second, and once it's all over, it's almost like, you know, like waking up from something.
Like some catharsis, sort of.
Yeah, I don't have any control over what's going on in here, so it's just kind of like, well, you just like, oh, let whatever's happening overtake me, and then it's just like, well, now I have this thing that happened to me and what's going on there.
That's sort of beautiful. How disgusting. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Listen,
well, like,
that thing I said where I don't want you medicated, I take it back.
With that, especially that thing that I've been talking about to everybody about, like I'll just suddenly feel like I want to cry for no reason. I think it's, you know, after giving it a lot of thought, I just think it's just because I, like, just love life so much that just thinking about anything ending is just so, or anybody around me not being there anymore, or me not experiencing things anymore, it's just so terrifying that it just kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
That's one of the best reasons to be depressed I've ever heard.
I would like to share with listeners of the podcast that I'm currently staring at Kevin Safra with my mouth agape and a...
Yeah.
It was a horrific smile.
That really connects, because I've always talked about having my fear of death. Like, that's a big thing with me, apparently, everybody that knows me. I've never really been able to explain it to people, but it's really that. It's just that I don't want... People are like, well, what's so scary about it? Once you're dead, nobody's going to know. I mean, that's the thing that everybody tells me.
I don't understand that argument
at
all.
And it's just because this, whatever it is, if nothing happens, or if you go to hell, if you go to heaven, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're not going to be experiencing this life anymore. And that's shitty. I'd rather have all this with the anxiety and the depression and the darkness and just everything. It's all awesome. I like all of it.
You multifaceted piece of shit.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah, can we start the podcast there?
No.
And not do the part where I complain about my comedy and sound like a total bitch?
What? Comedy is complaining on stage. Yeah. Don't try and pretend like everybody else doesn't do it.
I guess. I don't know.
No, absolutely. I mean...
I went on a real rant there. I'm talking too much.
Mm-mm.
Just because you never talk normally does not mean that you're actually in a conversation that you're talking too much.
Well, I have been drinking a little bit. That usually opens me up.
Drink you?
Bit.
How? Yeah. You are a third of a way through a can of Pepsi with a little bit of whiskey in it. You fucking lightweight. I respect you.
Lightweight.
You get.
It doesn't take much for it to start taking effect.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I can drink a lot.
Okay. And be just fine. Though I did establish earlier that I get hungover very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not fun.
Y'all bitching to drink more water.
I feel like you and I are the same person.
I need to drink more water.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are actually very similar.
All I think about is death, and I get drunk and hungover very... Well, I don't get drunk easily, but I get really bad hangovers.
Yeah.
That lasts, like, 2 days.
I think it's because I don't drink enough water, really. That's what it is.
Do you ever drink water?
I drink so much water.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
I don't fucking get it, then.
Yeah,
There's probably other things.
I've heard B12 is pretty important for recovering from hangover because you basically piss that out when you're drunk.
Yeah.
So that's another thing then.
All right, tips, advice for hangovers.
You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
I usually have McDonald's fries. That helps me out a lot with the hangover.
That's another handy tip. Have you heard... Here we go again with my random studies and facts that Here I am explaining Reddit to the listeners. They're McDonald's potatoes... The pesticides that they use on them to ensure that they're perfect,
mm-hmm.
Farmers won't leave their houses to, like, go check out the crops for at least multiple hours, maybe a few days, because it's so toxic. David Zaffer's asked me to top him up.
Well, because it just tastes like Pepsi now.
Oh, gross.
I totally interrupted you. You could have just poured it without having
to
stop
sweetie.
Your sentence.
No, this
she wanted to address
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
okay,
to
well,
talk about this.
She wants to let people know that you can drink.
Now I feel bad.
What?
You
why?
You ruined the show.
Well, because I interrupted her right in the middle of her explanation about fascinating facts.
She'll remember.
It's going to be another lost episode.
You spill it again?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is the bottle's fault, not mine.
Okay, sorry. I was originally just going to get some shots to throw.
That might be too much, but I have faith in you.
Thank you.
I hope I spilled some whiskey on those fries.
I probably should have stirred it a little bit. Anyways, so how's everybody doing?
Wait, where was I? Don't interrupt my sentence. That'd be like, so, new subject. I don't remember what I was talking about, but
McDonald's
I'm still offended.
Potatoes.
McDonald's fries,
they won't leave the house because
it's so
toxic.
So toxic. And then after the potatoes are, like, cut or something, then they have to leave them in a special vault for several days so that they will, like, they're fucking, I understand that, like, for the most part, it's like, yeah, they're fucking tasty. I remember McDonald's fries. I was obsessed with them.
You won't eat them?
Well, I think McDonald's is the devil, and I'm vegetarian, and I think that they still use
vegetarian?
Animal. Yeah. And I think they use animal lard. I don't know. Just, I hate McDonald's practices. So
I don't eat there unless I'm hungover. Just
fair
for
enough.
Fries.
Yeah, I have those places.
Yeah, because I'm also vegetarian.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I go there when I'm hungover, but I don't get food. I just get a large Sprite, and then I also get a large frozen strawberry lemonade. I drink, like, so much.
Yeah, McDonald's is the devil, though.
It's interesting.
Oh, and I think that their practices are, like, at great expense to the farmers, too. So they're just shitty all
around.
That's
the way big businesses are.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I don't shop at Walmart, and I try not to shop at Target because they're basically just a mini version of Walmart.
Indeed. They go to Target a lot.
They do have a lot of good shit. It's a really upsetting thing about them.
Well, that's why my kids mostly eat these, like, Amy's organic bowls and frozen meals that are really healthy and stuff.
Are your kids vegetarian too?
No, they eat chicken. But we've never fed them beef or pork.
Okay, interesting. Is your wife vegetarian as well?
No, but she doesn't eat fish just because she hates it.
Okay.
And she doesn't eat beef.
Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me. And she really doesn't eat meat that often unless we're, like, at a restaurant or something. Mm-hmm. She just likes the option of the...
Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners of this podcast?
My name is Joe, and if I don't eat meat at least once a day, I get angry.
Joe the carnivore, ladies and gentlemen. Putting fire onto tobacco for
it's
us.
It's hot.
Great.
It's really hot.
Yeah?
It is fire. I think I just went over this.
Fire, huh?
We're still doing everything caveman today. Fire, eating meat.
Yeah. Joe was nice enough to let us record up here.
Yes, thank you
evening.
For
yeah.
the upstairs use.
Yeah, upstairs ease. Well. You're an adult.
Use.
You have children.
Upstairs use.
No. Yes. Now I wish you'd said upstairs
nice
ease. So he's out of earshot. Joe also just conveniently probably ignored the fact that it reeks of whiskey up here because I spilled so much.
Although his hands
yeah.
were so shaky putting those coals on there, I was like, you guys, be very careful. I was scared for you.
Joe likes drinking a lot.
Does
Joe drinks to forget.
Jesus.
You know him very well.
So. I do. Yeah, because there was fucking a whiskey in the top of the can. As I'm talking about Joe,
you continue that. I'm gonna get a napkin.
Okay.
What? Why? Just use my jacket. It's soaked in whiskey anyway.
There's napkins right there.
No. Have nobody bothered to tell me this? As I'm soaking up whiskey with my fucking jacket.
This seems like
I
the kind of thing
you
would do. That just seems very, you know, that's like your style.
You're trying to stay in
jacket.
I'll take it as a compliment.
So how's everyone doing?
Can we get back to,
get back to what the fuck I was talking about since
I think we're finished already.
I remember this. Where am I?
We're talking about McDonald's, and I
yeah,
know you
yeah,
wrapped
yeah.
it up.
It
yeah.
sounded like you finished,
oh,
right?
Oh,
she's talking about all the other businesses she hated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
No, I wanted to go back to the any anxiety shit, but
okay.
Yeah, that's really dead. But
no.
Okay, well, you were saying that so many drugs didn't work for you, and it's actually 3-point-something times on average that a person will have to change drugs because they don't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I got magically lucky, and the first one that I took is really great for me.
Yeah.
So there's that. And also where you're saying, like, you don't want to feel things less, that was one of my main concerns, and then a therapist I was going to was just like, you sound really sad. You maybe want to get on some stuff, and I was like, fucking fine. And it didn't, I don't know, I just feel like my favorite version of myself far more often. Like, nothing's dampened. I still get depressed here and there. Like, I don't have, I don't know, I'm still me, but I just have less bullshit going on in my brain.
Yeah, I've never felt anything, I've never felt that feeling where people are like, oh, I just can't feel anything and I'd rather feel sad
yeah.
than nothing at all. But, I mean, I don't have very, like, strong emotions anyway, so I might be a bad person to ask.
I love how you're an actress and you don't feel
that's what's really hard for me. Yeah. Like, he's like, act how you would act in real life. I'm like, that, what you
yep.
would have to murder my
yeah.
mom to make me angry in real life. Like, I don't get angry. So it's been, that's the hardest part for me.
Huh.
I don't have a lot of really strong emotions.
No, yeah, when we, Brady and I took an acting class together a while ago.
Really?
When we were, yeah.
Yeah.
When we were in that class, like, I was never like, this is how I would act. I was like, I bet this is how a person would react in this situation.
Yeah, and our scene, we had to get real frustrated with each other, and it was so, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were doing characters that, like,
I didn't really understand. She had explained several times, like, what they were thinking and doing. I'm like, I don't get this. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I don't understand their motivations, why they're doing and saying these things.
I would never behave in that way.
It's really weird.
It was. I mean, it was kind of an unusual scene. It was, like, people who were at a bar, and they were, like, sort of fighting, but there was a subtext of them flirting, and then at the end, like, they're yelling at each other, and the guy asks her out at the end, like, screaming, and asks her out and leaves.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was weird, and I don't know how people react to things.
That class is a little ridiculous, so, I mean, she was very overdramatic. Like, she made Jake and I, literally, she was like, touch noses, so we had to touch noses and scream at each other, and I'm
what
like,
the fuck?
I just...
Acting classes are fucking weird.
Well,
though.
Yeah. No,
I'm taking a couple.
I'm taking a different one now that's so much better, but that
yeah.
one is like, I don't think you understand. Like, Jake and I touching noses right
yeah.
now is
no,
so
I think,
awkward.
Yeah, that's just a
we
weird.
We barely shake hands. Like,
yeah.
that's...
I've known him so long and we've touched like 2 times.
Yeah. It's like if we're both really drunk, we might hug, and then that'll be it.
I think I've made you hold my hand before. Haven't I made you hold my hand before?
Yes.
What for?
You, okay. This was it. Was it after a comedy show or something like
probably.
That?
Probably.
Oh, no, I remember what night this was.
Oh, okay.
We went to the Comedy Store before I started comedy, a long time ago, and I did not have my ID, so they wouldn't let us in.
Mm.
So we decided to go to a bar
uh-huh.
Down the street from the Comedy Store, which is not there anymore, but you got really, maybe the drunkest I've ever seen you, ever.
Yeah.
And, like, you threw up in the parking lot, it was... bit of a disaster.
Thanks for the story. Great.
Yeah.
I like to see this. It's so much fun.
This was years ago.
Yeah. She doesn't drink anymore. but we were on... Like, I was driving us home because I was sober, and you were in the back... Or no, Corey was driving us home. Anyway, you were in the back, and you were yelling somewhat incoherently for a while.
Yelling?
Well, not yelling, but just, like, talking loudly.
Uh-huh.
In a drunk fashion.
Right.
And then at a certain point, you were like... Jake, just do it. I'm like, what do you do? What? I'm like, just fucking do it. I don't know if we discussed something earlier than we're supposed to do. I'm like, just fucking hold my hand.
Aww.
Like, okay, that's not how people normally ask me. Okay.
It's adorable and I love you more.
I'm like so uncomfortable with being sweet with somebody I have to yell at them
yeah.
first.
This is why we... Yeah, okay. This makes sense now.
Yeah. Speaking of people being the same person, Brittany and Jamie.
Yeah, like I was just thinking like it's great seeing someone else receive a story about how they were drunk when they were on Jake because literally, like, you know, every other day I'm like, what did I do? And Jake's want to tell us it slowly, so I get frustrated at you, which I apologize for, but I'm just like, what the... Because I'm usually assuming, like, I stabbed a homeless person or something, which, you know, I don't do anymore. But, you know, I'm harping back to the days when I dated that Mormon, and he
yeah.
would be like, hey, do you remember we did that last night? Yeah, neither do I. And I wouldn't know in the way. So, but yeah, this was interesting, like, seeing you do your theatrics and your arm waving to another person about how they were drunk, and you, like running your hands to your hair, like, you were pretty drunk, and like you've been drinking quite a bit. Like that's your.
I was trying to tell it.
If I remember correctly, I was gripping your hand super hard.
That's
is that not right?
I think so. And you for like 15 minutes, like the entire way back.
I think I just felt so terrible that I was like, if I let go of his hand, I think I'm gonna die.
I might fall off the earth.
I felt so terrible.
Do you remember that?
I remember after I started holding his hand. I don't really remember before. You grounded me, Jake. Thank you.
I'm your constant.
Nice.
Oh, God.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping everybody together.
Yeah.
Just like this podcast, it's all possible because of your leadership.
Oh,
leadership
wow.
Right
Thank
there.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that.
Which, you know, it worked out in the end. We're all here now. Enjoying some fine whiskey.
We're all here except for
enjoying fine? I have problems with both of those terms.
I'm gonna go top shelf with these feelings right now.
Oh.
You're having some passable whiskey.
Yeah.
Enjoying
don't
some fine.
Ruin this for me.
Okay, hey.
I'm just kidding. You can ruin it if you want.
It's funny because I've specified before to the bartender, I did this actually last night at Robert Timothy's birthday roast. Like, I wanted... Yeah, we should. That I want a Jim Beam neat, because right now I'm a little bit poor, and I'm waiting to, like, I'm trying to save up money, because I'm going to move out at the end of the month, live with Evan Jones, which I think is going to be super rad.
Shout out Evan Jones.
Yeah, shout out Evan Jones.
Maybe we should shout out people who actually listen. Yeah, what's up, Mike Ula?
Oh, God,
he's
I love Mike Ula.
Hi.
Yeah, you'd be like, anyway, before I get sidetracked, because my brain doesn't work properly. Already sidetracked. Where was I?
You were just talking about Michael.
You
Uber
asked
for a
about Jim Beam straight up.
Yeah, Jim Beam straight, because right now I'm kind of poor, but I still have a preference amongst bottom shelf whiskey. Like, well, whiskey, I still care. I do love whiskey. It's
you
one
don't
of the
like
few.
Canadian
I don't
Mist
like
for $5.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck Scotch. I don't. No. Scotch can suck a dick.
I like
Scotch
tequila and
been
vodka. And I'll have rum and coke occasionally.
I, at a, White Elephant, like, Christmas party with my family, my dad brought a Trader Joe's bag with nice, like, Jose Cuervo, I think it was, like, but, like, top shelf, like, not white, silver whiskey, tequila silver whiskey is apparently the only alcohol I know. And then a bag of lime, because that's my dad. Just in a fucking bag. But, like, it's delicious. Like, there's a certain sweetness to it. It's really good. Really good tequila I love. Regular tequila is shit to me, but good tequila is amazing.
Yeah, I'm a tequila fan.
Yeah.
Like Cazadores, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's good tequila.
Mm. I went to high school with a girl named Tequila Mockingbird.
That is not true.
There's
it is very true. She was in my honors English class. Tequila, she was a few, no, I'm not going to say
this, that this sounds like a character someone would come up during an improv scene.
Yeah.
No, her name was legitimately Tequila Mockingbird.
Tequila
she
Mockingbird. Parents, man.
Ridiculous person.
No, she was a very...
She was just trying to deal with her awful parents.
I guess
so.
I mean, what if she
kept the name?
I felt bad about saying this, but yeah. I guess it's sort of. I mean, it's a cultural thing. She was black, and black parents.
I never have guessed it.
And black parents are big fans of To Kill a Mockingbird.
No, I mean, she wasn't in honors English class, so apparently there was some appreciation of literature, but.
Yeah.
Wait, did that sound horrible?
It sounded weird.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, whatever, but. In the black community, especially in America, strange names, unusual names,
yep.
Oddly spelled names, that's a trend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have noticed that.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say that in derogatory fashion, but I don't know, made a little more sense.
No, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have heard comics do jokes about black names and how they're silly. Like, that is so terrible to me.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking hacky at this point.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of any types of race jokes, really.
Yeah.
It just seems like so... If you have to... it just bothers me because you kind of have to rely on people knowing the stereotype for it to be funny.
Yeah.
It just seems so shitty. I don't know. But at the same time, those people usually get more laughs than my life and death jokes, so I don't know. Maybe they have it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, I think people laugh at what they relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So people are aware of racism, or they are secretly racist. So, stereotypes are something most people are familiar with.
Yeah, I don't know, it just seems like, it just seems like if it relies on the stereotype, it's probably been used 100 million times, I don't understand why.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm not like saying that race jokes are my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
They can be pretty hacky. I mean, I'm sure there are clever race jokes.
Yeah,
available
and I've
out
heard
there.
Them, and they're great.
Yeah,
but yeah. I just mean like, if you have any joke about like Asian drivers, chances are your joke is probably not that good.
Oh yeah,
because it just, I mean, really, what can you say about it?
I feel like if you're clever
they're not
enough,
good at it. Say
if
that.
You're clever enough to
nailed
write
it.
Good jokes, then you're smart enough to know that you should just try and stay away from it. Like, why would you? If you can write good jokes otherwise, like, why harp on racist shits?
Yeah.
Basically,
I don't know.
Oh, we need to talk about Robert Timothy's roast. Bobby Timothy.
Bobby T.
How was that?
It was fun. I mean, Jamie performed. You know,
where was this at?
Mother's Saloon in OB.
You just did like a one-time show at that place?
It wasn't, I mean, it, I don't know if you even qualified as a show. It wasn't on stage.
Yeah,
they
well, because they had set up for a band later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a microphone, but it wasn't like... Nobody was listening except the 8 people that were there for that specific
I mean,
thing.
I went
did
into
you
the bathroom.
Fun?
Yeah, absolutely. And Bobby's amazing. But, like, I went to the bathroom at one point, and a woman was like, I was listening in. So, like, there were a few people who enjoyed it other than us.
Yeah.
Even, like, I mean, I feel like... Sorry, you're going to see my door. It's fine. Tell your wife I said what's up. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty delightful.
Yeah.
Is that it all you guys have to say about that? James Schrader went to his first jiu-jitsu class yesterday.
Really? He seems like a guy that already knows jiu-jitsu.
He seems
like
a guy who knows everything. Except for cheeses.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he's ever done anything that's like that. Like, it's like martial art of any type. So.
Yeah.
He liked it though. It was fun. I got to choke him out a couple times.
Good, finally. Finally, somebody sticks it to that son of a bitch.
He fought
my wife also. That was cool.
Wow.
Really?
Did your wife win?
I think she tapped him out once.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I think it's really cute that your wife does that. That sounds condescending. I find it endearing that she also does jiu-jitsu.
Okay. We started at the same time, and I got ahead of her because she got pregnant. And then when I started doing comedy, she started going back. So now she's probably going to get better than me.
If that dummy hadn't gotten pregnant, she'd be the same level as you.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
She blew it.
It's not further. Yeah.
How long have you guys been married?
I prefer not to think about that.
You really don't know?
Nah, I probably do. I just don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
All right. It's a weird thing to be sensitive about, but we can move on.
How old were you when you met your wife?
18? 17?
Okay. How old are you now?
23.
I'm just very intrigued about, you know, people so young being married.
Yeah.
How is marriage?
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
My fear...
I have a lot of, I feel like I have to constantly come up with defenses for marriage because so many people that are young are kind of anti-marriage.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's like a necessary hatred to have towards it. It's whatever.
I don't have hatred towards marriage. I have like a lot of fears about it. I fear just somebody eventually becoming just like your roommate.
Okay.
Is that not... It's not like that?
I mean, I don't... No, I don't think so, because I've had roommates, and I don't think that my relationship feels like that at all. But also, I think I'm probably the worst person to, like, have too many thoughts about it, just because I don't kind of live my life in as a married person the way maybe other people would, because
You're just fucking bitches constantly.
It's a very special, very specific thing that we kind of figured out together.
Yeah.
I think anybody else would have a really hard time being married to me.
Because,
I think it's hard for her. I mean, she knew from the beginning, so it's not like this is a surprise to her, that I don't value a relationship that much, that it's, like, the most important thing to me, that just being married to her is going to be, like, my most happy thing, and I'm not, like, specifically a very romantic person either.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like just she's, like, my family member, and I'm just accepting her into my life, and, you know, she's, like, one of us now. She's one of the Zafras, and she's like, you know, like a sister to my sisters, and you know, just that kind of thing. But I've always really pushed for us to have a lot of separation. I've always pushed her to try to find something that she's passionate about, which has been a tough thing, but that so that I'm not her entire life.
Yeah,
we're not each other's lives. We kind of share this thing, and she helps me and I help her. And, like, you know, me pushing her to keep doing jiu-jitsu and her, you know, supporting me through this comedy thing, she knows that I can't be happy just sitting at home with her.
Right.
I need to be out doing something that I feel is going to, like, advance me as a person. That's, like, the most important thing, is making sure I'm, like a self-fulfilled person. And I want that for her, too. I think that she needs to kind of, like, find something that she's really, really passionate about. And then we can just both, like, be like, oh, this is happening with me and that's happening with you. And then you don't really lose interest because you have a life that's outside of... I don't understand people that are in these relationships and they're just all about each other all the time.
Yeah,
that
scares
me. And it just makes
me
so fucking sick.
That's
and I don't think if you find somebody that has similar... We don't have a lot of stuff in common in terms of, like, our interests necessarily, but we have a lot of the same ideas on, like, our philosophy for life and the way that we want to raise our children and stuff like that. So that kind of helps out a lot. And the fact that she understands that there's just so much more things that are important to me that I need in my life. So because if it wasn't me leaving her for comedy constantly, then it would be something else, because I can't just... to be just in a relationship and that's my entire life, it wouldn't be enough. And, you know.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's really smart, because I know what you're talking about. People who are, like, they have one thing, and it's their boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife.
Yeah.
And I don't... Like, I get that that's a component to being happy. I totally understand that. But people who, like, their source of happiness is that other person...
Yeah.
That baffles me. Like, yeah. That would... If that was the only thing in my life that made me happy, I couldn't live with myself.
Like, but it's almost like that's the way we're brought up to... That's
yeah.
like kind of we're supposed to... We're supposed to believe
yep.
this thing where it's like you hear these love songs and it's like, oh, I would die without you and all
You're
this stuff. It's just like...
No, so
we're
dangerous.
Kind of so conditioned to think that that's what love is supposed to be. And I don't think that that's true at all. I think that there's something more powerful to say in the fact that I have all this stuff going on in my life, but I still want you to be a part of it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You delightful Jesus Christ, you're like, God damn it, like I didn't.
And so that's why I have a couple jokes that I just kind of like throw off that's like, oh, my wife's terrible, but for the most part, I have this new stuff that I'm working on right now that's more in defense of marriage and all this stuff. Like, I don't wear a wedding ring. Like, why? It's a stupid tradition. Like,
yeah.
we don't have to get stuck on this is the way things are. Like, that's any rule that's like, it's just, you're supposed to do it because that's what you're supposed to do. If you're
yeah.
just supposed to do it, it's a fucking stupid reason to do anything. And so I don't fucking wear a wedding ring because it's like, why? It's not affecting... My wife wears a wedding ring and she gets hit on. And
yeah.
I don't. And nothing's
yeah.
different for
yeah.
me. It's the same as if I had it on or didn't have it on. It makes no difference at all. And then the way that we live our lives, it's just like...
If a woman did hit on you, you could just say, oh, I'm married.
Yeah.
You don't need to like be
yeah.
able to point to evidence... Like, no.
Sorry.
Seriously,
yeah.
I'm married. See this? They don't give them to you unless you're
yeah.
married, so.
You and your wife seem like your best friends who fucking have kids together.
I like that. See, that makes
yeah,
me happy to hear that.
Yeah.
No,
that's
the
amazing.
Way to be.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
But it took a lot of hard work and constant, like, the first couple years of our relationship was just the shittiest thing ever. Like, she was the worst. And she will talk
what?
About, like, it won't take a long time for her to be open about, she's a very open person.
Oh,
so she
wonderful.
Won't, she'll... be the first person to admit that she was terrible for a long time because she was just not used to having anybody tell her that she was wrong about stuff.
Okay.
And so she was really, really jealous and she always wanted me around and she was very controlling and manipulative and stuff like that. And just, you know, it just wore off. And, you know, being
yeah.
married almost kind of like gave her that security that,
yeah.
oh, it's okay, I can back up a little bit. And then having the kids just like even further was like, okay, just do your
yeah.
thing. And then it's just,
once you realize that the person... that you're, and this is gonna get gross, Jake, that you're with, more or less, or that you're just fucking Mike Ula, that they're okay with who you are, and
yeah.
that it's not, there's no competition involved, and you'd be secure in that, like, it's the most wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Like, that you don't need to worry, like, you've been, it's just, when, and the fact that you said she's very open, like, just, when people are straightforward, I instantly am drawn to you.
Because yeah,
it took
like
me
that.
A long time to get to that place, and
yeah.
now that I'm here, for the most part, when people are still trying to, like, hide things or ignore facets of their personality instead of addressing it,
yeah.
I just, like, I you can't change, they need to come to that conclusion on their own.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of people that are like that also, just because I'm a very empathetic person.
Yeah.
So when I know something about somebody, it like, almost makes me immediately understand anything that they ever do. Because it's just, like, you can kind of figure out why they're doing what they're doing. Everybody
yeah.
has a reason for whatever
yeah.
is going on with them.
There are no
and
evil
if...
people, only shitty motivating factors.
Exactly. And the, so, I mean, I'm just as judgmental as everybody else. But I think certain things, like, I had this guy that I was working with, he was a janitor, and he was, like, a real dick. And I just so angry at him all the time. And he committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
And when the second I found out about that, I felt horrible. Because I was like, why? Why did I dislike him so much?
Yeah.
He had so much going on. And for me to have, like, who cares if he's being an asshole? Like, why did I let that get to me?
Yeah.
I was so upset with myself that I allowed myself to dislike this person when he was obviously going
yeah.
through a lot of stuff. And they just, like, little... It doesn't take much for me to just suddenly be like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I totally get it. It
uh-huh.
doesn't take a lot.
Yeah, well, most people that treat people shitty are just deeply troubled.
Yeah, very unhappy
yeah.
with themselves.
Happy people are not mean. That's just not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. people who are actually mean are almost always more depressed than you.
Yeah.
Their life is worse than how they're treating you.
And obviously it's difficult to, like, look past that when somebody's doing something shitty to you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't necessarily excuse the behavior.
No, not at all.
That makes it cool.
Yeah, it makes me be able to like, understand and,
mm-hmm.
and like, kind of, like, it just... I just have a lot of empathy for people, so...
Yeah.
And when somebody can share something with me, it almost immediately brings me closer to them because I can kind of, like, understand that they're just as human as
yeah.
I am. Or when, you know, even little things. If I ever see, somebody that's always happy and, like, it kind of bothers me, but if I ever see that happy person, like, suddenly, like, really sad or crying, it almost makes me feel better. It sounds really fucked up, but it just makes me feel better because I'm like, oh, wait, you're just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, that ties back into what I was saying about comedy earlier. Is like when I find somebody else.
God damn it. Why'd you have to tie it all together at the end?
Oh, come on.
When you find somebody else has the same insecurities about you.
Yes, you're right.
As you, like, it's very reassuring. Like, you know, like, I think the worst feeling in the world is feeling like you're alone in something.
Yeah.
So people who are insecure or depressed or anxious, like, once you realize that other people have those feelings, it's just like a huge weight off your shoulder. You're like, oh, right, everybody's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
It's not just, I'm not the fucked up person.
Yeah.
Everybody is like that.
And everybody thinks that they're the exception, so that's that makes things a little bit difficult.
Well, you're the only person feeling your thoughts all the
exactly.
time. So, and so, I mean, I feel like this is like the most philosophical in the whole podcast this time. But like the best parts of life are, it's just connecting with people.
Yeah.
You have to share, you have to, like, receive other people's thoughts, you have to notice how they're feeling, like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, noticing body language that makes you realize things about yourself, and the
This is all really just the, what kind of, like, defines me, I mean, both on and off stage, like, I like talking about, and it hasn't been, and this is one of the things that frustrates me, that I was talking about my insecurities with comedy. I have these jokes that I perform when I have a booked show and they're fine and they do well,
yeah,
but what I really want is to be able to get these other jokes that I have about, like, my, like, depression and life and death and these deeper ideas, and share those with people, and that stuff be as funny as the stuff that I'm doing now.
I want my
jokes about, like, I have a joke about how, like, death is kind of like a party that you're not invited to. I want eventually jokes like that to be as funny as my closer right now, which is just about hashtags, and that doesn't make me very happy.
Though
it does do very well, and it feels good to do good on stage, but, you know, I took myself very seriously for a lot of my life. I was always a very, like, thoughtful and philosophical kid just my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was, like, obsessed with Socrates, like, in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So, I took myself very seriously for a long time, and it wasn't until I discovered Woody Allen that he was, like, talking about, like, life and death and all this, he, you know, being very self-deprecating and talking about depression and, you know, all these philosophical problems in a humorous way.
Yeah.
That made me realize, oh, I don't have to take things so seriously.
Yeah.
There's still a way to acknowledge all the shittiness in the world while still kind of, like, finding the light in that.
That's a fucking sweet spot right there.
I need to figure out how to do that better.
Yeah. I've talked to a couple of people about this, so sorry, three listeners, that you've probably all heard me say this. And by three, I mean
Mike
dozens. Okay. Mike, look, I'm sorry if you heard me talk about this before. Actually, he hasn't. Have you seen the Bill Hicks documentary? It's on Netflix.
I don't think so, no.
I think, fuck, I can't, it's like American
oh,
the Bill
it's
Hicks.
American.
Yeah. In it, like, this really sort of made me focus on what I was saying in comedy and, like, made me start trying to bring up how I feel about just gender and sexism and bullshit into my comedy, which isn't doing as well as I want it to, but in it, Bill Hicks is like, he was doing really well with his jokes, but then he realized that he really needed to use that as a platform to talk about what he really cared about, which was just the bullshit that goes on in everyday life and in America, and the reason that it's called, if I remember correctly, American, is because it was like, because he's a true patriot, because he loved America, but he really wanted to change for the better, which is what a patriot is, not like, America's fucking great all the time, like, no, it's like, we have our issues, but I love this country. Anyway, so after seeing that, like, I really started trying to write these jokes that were important to me. And they're not doing as well as some of my other books. But that's, you know, you need... It's so difficult to rope an audience into caring.
Yeah, and these are such big, heavy issues that it should be difficult to be able to make those things good.
Yeah, that's really... I feel like...
While I want to do that...
Yeah.
You know, I guess I, you know, I think... Well, if all of us should, I guess, maybe have a little more patience with ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hard.
A big problem.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's the real comic struggle, is communicating ideas that you're very passionate about in a funny way, because you take them seriously. You're not going to want to make light of them, that's how jokes feel.
Yeah.
But, no, making them funny that's the real, I think, like... That's the greatest thing as a comedian you can do.
Yeah,
and I mean, you gotta remember how long it took Bill Hicks to even start writing those jokes and then start making them good.
Yeah.
Like, he did comedy for a long time. He started when he was like 13 or something.
Ridiculous.
Absurd like that.
Jesus
so
Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very, very young. So, I mean, it's great that you're starting on that early, but, you know.
Yeah.
None of us have been doing it long enough to beat ourselves up over not being masters.
Yeah, and
like
I don't know
Bill
why.
Hicks.
Yeah, I don't even know why I would, because from the beginning I knew that this, like when I first decided that I was going to do comedy, I wasn't even trying to do well, because everything that I knew about stand-up at that moment was from this podcast that was like a bunch of local comedians. It was Zoltan, Billy Bonnell, Kyle Ray, and Christian Spicer. They had a podcast, and they had a thing about their first time ever trying comedy, and they said everybody bombs their first time, so I didn't know that there was Mike Lu and Dan Harumi out there that existed in the world, so I just thought that this was fact. I thought everybody bombs their first time. So when I went in, I thought it was just gonna be like pulling a band-aid.
I'm just gonna
have to get this over with.
That's how you have
everybody has to bomb their first time.
Yeah,
and that's what I went. So I mean, and I knew that it was everybody talks
Thank
about
you. Yeah.
All the professionals talk about being shitty for so long that I don't really know, even though I kind of like don't want to get rid of this idea, I don't know why I feel so bad about being so shitty.
Did you bomb your first time?
Yes.
I don't know.
It was like an Orange County open mic where it was all comics, like just completely lit. Everybody was like doing inside jokes because they're like, that's very few open mics that they have is this couple scattered places in Orange County. Orange County scene is not that good.
Yeah.
So everybody was just kind of there to kind of just make these inside jokes and kind of just try to please each other.
Yeah.
So I went, there was a girl that went up before me, but she was the girlfriend of a comic, so everybody was like super supportive. And then I went on, pretty much nobody paid attention to me.
Fuck this brown guy.
But my first time I did, there's two jokes from that original set that I still do.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get the... So, I totally assume that I completely bombed. I went up... I'm sure I've talked about this on this podcast before. But where I went up and I sat down, I don't really have much remembrance of being on stage. I was so anxious.
Where
that was
that?
This was the Palace.
Okay.
And this is before I hopped on the anxiety train. It took me about a month and I got way better after that. Which, by the way, also helps. Mike Lula. Mike,
we're talking about him a lot today.
No, he's the only person listening, so we gotta bring him up. And I love
that.
Him, so I will mention his name anytime.
I do love Mike Ula. He gave me some zoo passes for Christmas.
That's adorable.
Which I haven't
Fuck
used
you, Mike
yet.
Ula.
I was supposed to take Jimmy to the zoo with me and the kids.
You're supposed to take Jimmy?
Jimmy's gonna, I'm gonna use one of my passes on Jimmy so you can go to the zoo with me and the kids.
That's
cute. He's like your child. In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. I have bought him a lot of things. By that I mean food and drinks.
Yeah, but so I recorded that, like, just audio. I recorded that. I was like, I'm gonna wanna hear this. Like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. Finally, I've thought about it for years. Here I am. So I recorded, and it took me months to listen to it, and I ended up listening to it in the back of a bar with Jake here, and listening, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I really didn't eat that much shit. Like, I had a...
You had laughs and stuff?
A few, like, enough for your first time. Like, I kept holding the mic down by, like, my chest. I didn't, just the mechanics of
holding. Everybody
does shit
like that.
Yeah, just silly little things, and then I remember James Schrader coming up to me a couple of times after I started... And being like, hey, so, you know, like, you should, when you take the microphone out of the mic stand, move the mic stand away, because otherwise it's just like a big line.
I did the exact same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, it's just a big black line up your body, and, just, I'm really hot, does that make sense? And I loved him instantly.
I used to have a lot of anxiety about that, because Raul and Jake both told me that before I ever went up for the first time. They're like, it's a rookie mistake. If you take the mic out, you have to move the mic.
Who gives a shit? Fuck you, Jake.
But I used to get, I don't think
I was that emphatic.
No.
Don't fuck this up.
No, but you guys have told me that a lot. And so I used to imagine it and get really bad anxiety, like me, the mic getting stuck, and like me not being able to move the
that
stand.
That still happens to me. Whatever.
Yeah, seriously.
Just make a silly comment about it, and the audience fucking loves it. It's like, oh, you're a human being? Yeah, I love you.
I would just be like, ah,
that would probably kill.
Nobody laughs, then that's really shitty.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've never...
That happened to me recently when I opened up at the store.
Really?
Yeah, the mic cord fell out as soon as I pulled the mic out of the stand, and then I made a comment, and there was just silence. I was like, better get
into
it.
Are you sure they could hear you?
That's the point.
I don't know if you know, the microphone probably wasn't working at that point, so...
I probably ended up working better. I always try to, like, make the audience think I'm shitty before I start telling jokes.
I couldn't get the mic back in after I went up, and I just was like, here! And then, like, ran off stage.
Just
threw it at Ryan. Take it!
Ed Winston's, that happens to me regularly. Yeah. Fuck, I still need to, sorry for the F-word, audience. I said the F-word in, the... comic book store.
The day before Easter.
The Lord's Day. But I cursed today. I said fuck in Jimmy Calloway's. He works in a comic book store. Sort of volunteers-ish. And then he was like, hey, you know, keep it down. And I felt really bad.
Nice.
Anyway, regularly that happens to me at Winston's. And it's just not,
it's a
nobody cares.
Dropping episode today.
Winston's? Oh, shit. She goes up with the open mic at Winston's, y'all.
Jimmy Calloway.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Calloway, what up? Yeah.
He's not listening.
I know, it's fine.
Don't assume that.
I guess it's true.
Oh, you're
being
positive now? Really? Now you're gonna try and turn that? Come on, don't be negative. Just think about death.
I don't know who listens to the show, other than Ula, because he comments on it. Right?
I listen to it. I like
people
to,
do.
I like the podcast, yeah.
Gordon Hale does, because he told me how...
Yeah, see...
Which is weird, because we've never spoken.
I think talking on a podcast about how nobody's talking, or nobody's listening to you,
but
is almost like when open micers go up on stage and they're like, I don't even know why I'm up here right now.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Fucking hack.
Fucking piece of shit. Fucking stand-ups, right? Am I right, Brittany?
Yeah.
Boy.
Yo, this is strong. It's,
yeah, it's,
it's good.
Too much heat.
So,
yeah, man.
I think that was my answer to your original interview question. Now we got to move on to
how
you're
doing.
Yeah.
Oh,
your question was
doing?
How you doing?
Jesus.
And then we talked for 50 minutes.
Okay.
So
how are you doing?
Brittany, how you doing?
Yeah, Brittany, I feel like you've been talking a lot.
This is the first time we've ever met, right?
Well, Brittany's a delight. You should become good friends. So
Thank you. Nobody's called me a delight before. That's never...
Yes! That's one of my favorite words.
She doesn't know you very well.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of my favorite words to describe people.
We hung out alone once and we talked a lot.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Oh, we need to talk about that night. I actually stopped myself from finishing explaining to them what the night was. You're like, this needs to be on the podcast.
Does it?
It does.
It doesn't have to be if you don't want to.
Well, let's talk about it and then...
You bring up the things that happened if you want to talk about
them. Yeah, wrap this into how are you.
Well, I was actually going to talk about my day. But no, you talk about... Let's talk about that night.
Okay, so I think you remember more than I do, but I went up to the front of a line at a club in North Park. I think we were going to wait, and I was like, no, let's see if this works.
Let's try this.
Let's try this, yeah. So I go up, and I'm just like... Hey, can we get in? And he looks at it, he's like, yeah, right on in. Like,
yeah.
That was beautiful.
There's a very long line, and we were like, we've never even tried before, because I don't know, because I'm not that girl who's like, oh, I don't have to wait in line.
Yeah, no, and it's just sort of like, those things occur to me where I'm like, wait, I think I'm attractive now. Like, let's just see what I can do, because I grew up feeling very unattractive. So every time just like these ideas occur to me, I'm like, well, me. Let's see what all these bitches were talking about.
Yeah, so we were like, hey, like, can we come in here? And he was like, yep.
Yeah.
And then some guy came up, to make it even better, some guy came up right behind us and was like, oh, hey, can I... He's like, the line's over there, buddy. It was the best.
That's pretty impressive.
It was very funny.
I know that there was more because that night was insane. But I know that there was a gentleman that you found attractive. Can I share the story?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, there's a gentleman that Brady was like, that guy's cute. Oh, he's getting into his car. And I was like, fuck it. Let's just go knock on his door. Let's fucking... So I go up because Brittany was shy. You were shy about it. So I go up, I knock on his door as he's just chilling in his car about to leave. And he opens up his door. He's like, hey, my friend thinks you're really cute. Shh, I have words. My friend thinks you're really cute. Do you guys want to, like, maybe make out? And he's like, he looks at Brittany, he's like, yeah, sure. And
did
so they
even
made out
see
for
her
a little
before
bit.
He agreed to it?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Please, if you're friends with
like,
me, you're
whatever.
Obviously super hot. Am I right?
Yeah,
you know.
Good point.
Like Jake here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Sup, sweet cheeks.
Yeah. So then we made out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he kept
it?
Trying to convince you that I had left.
Yes, then he got all creepy because obviously Jamie went across the street. She wasn't going to stay there.
He's like,
looking
good.
He's like, I think
nice
your
technique.
Friend left you. And I was like, no, I think she's over there. And he's like, no, I think that you're alone. And I'm like, oh my God. This is why this is a bad idea. Yeah.
The creeper becomes the creepy.
Yeah.
Fuck, what else happened that night?
We no, got
that's
into...
That's a horrible way to turn a good
limo.
Thing into such a
oh, yeah!
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... The night started out with... You want to tell the story?
Well, you remember that more than I do.
Okay, we see a limo parked outside of fucking Bar Pink, which, by the way, disgusting bar. Don't go there anymore. It used to be cool, and now it's the
go to Star
thing.
Bar. That's where you want to be.
Star Bar.
Star Bar! Shout out, ladies and gentlemen. But, so I see a limo, and we're, like, trying to walk back to our cars, which are a little bit far away because we'd parked in North Park on a weekend. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, actually, we walked by, and I was like, fuck, we should have tried getting a limo. So Brittany's like, ah, or maybe you said, I don't fucking know. I was drunk, if you haven't picked up on that
yeah,
listener.
Yeah, we were very drunk.
Yeah, and so I go back, and there's the guy still holding the door open, like, the driver of the limo, and I'm like, hey, can we get in? Which I guess I did at the club, too. But, hey, he's like, yeah, sure. And we hop in, and we hang out with these middle-aged guys for, like, 20 minutes just driving around. And they gave me a bottle of...
We're drinking beer. I don't know.
Something... The bottle was in my car for a little while. Something really nice. A nice alcohol. Whatever. They gave me a flask, and we're like, no, you keep it. And we... Actually, when I first sat down in the car, I was like, by the way, we're not going to blow you. I made this very clear from the start because I know how it looks. Like, hey guys,
looks like
Blowjob
City.
Yeah, yeah, BJ City, San BJ, and San like San Diego, not Sans BJ. It was Sans BJ, but they're like, oh, that's not what we were. And so we just cruised around, and then they dropped us off at our cars, and it
nice.
Was super cool.
Yeah. But
yeah,
then we decided we shouldn't drink together anymore.
Yeah,
this,
all of that should happen in one night, and I've
you
never
guys are
done any of that.
Right now, though.
But we're not alone,
yeah.
So we at least have a couple.
Yeah,
of
we're
people
pacing
to...
them. Like, all right, chill out.
The night didn't end there. I mean.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then your friend came into the room where we were trying to sleep at your friend's party, and I literally just like went on a rant. Get the fuck out, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, get the fuck out. Which, shout out to Chase Brockett. That was actually, like, that intonation. What was it? He has a joke about how his penis is like a puppy or a dog, where, like...
Yeah, let me out.
Yeah, yeah, let me out. So, just, I went off on that. Was like, get the fuck out. And he did leave. And then I woke up not next to Brittany, but next to him, and Brittany was passed out in the bathroom when we had to take the door handle off.
I feel like you summed that up really
yeah.
weird.
which
it's
I
like
did,
I woke up next to this guy, then we had to take the door handle off, and Brittany was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
The
people at the party were trying for like 10 minutes to get the door handle off, and they're just like, oh, we're gonna have to like do this and this, and I just waltz up, and I'm like, wait, you idiots, give me the screwdriver, and I'm like, I pop open a certain latch, and then it opens up, and I'm like,
I
boom, want to bitches.
Point out I was not stuck in the bathroom. I was just asleep.
Oh, yeah, no.
I didn't know any of this was happening.
Yeah, you didn't give a fuck. You were passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't mean to insult your intelligence. I'm just mentioning that you were passed out in the bathroom. And
help me go
no, I don't understand doorknobs.
Yeah.
Brittany's
well,
smart listeners.
I woke up as they were taking the... I woke up as they took the doorknob off, so I went to go out of the bathroom, and the doorknob just fell off, and I was so confused. I was like, I didn't...
That's not how things work.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't do that. I didn't do that shit. It was broken when I got here. Like, yeah, that was... I don't know if anybody's going to like that story except for us.
No, they will, because that's amazing.
It's fine. It was only 40 minutes.
How are you doing in life? What are your fears and insecurities and shit?
Oh. There's a lot.
We don't have the time.
Yeah.
We have the time. We can just cut out that entire part at the beginning where I was complaining about comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we pause this after Pete?
I mean, we could probably wrap it
yeah,
up,
we've
actually.
Been
we're
for a long time.
We're a little over an hour. So unless there's something you wanted to talk about, how you're sad all the time.
Are you sad all the time?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You seem really right. Happy.
Sum that up nicely.
Yeah.
At least you hide it.
Yeah.
At least you have the
hide
decency
well.
To lie about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, come on, put that shit away. If you're fucking depressed all the time, God, it makes me sick.
People probably wouldn't expect it who don't know me that well.
No,
I
but
guess.
I like that. There's a lot of smiling while you're saying you're sad all the time. It's kind of
yeah. Cool. I mean, it's a ridiculous
I'm a fan
thing.
Of that.
I think it's. I find humor in it, but yeah.
Well, that's good too.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that's happening here.
Sexist people are the worst. Comics who aren't self-reflective are the worst. Comics who don't care about communicating idea are the worst.
Is this just your rundown of the themes of the podcast?
Yeah, or
okay.
Things that I want to share with the world.
Let's change the name of this podcast to Jamie Hates...
That sounds great. It's
okay.
Better than the Punsters.
It is better.
Pretty much any suggestion.
Why does everybody always shit on the Punsters? I think that's a good name.
Oh, you're the first person to ever say
yeah,
that.
No
it's
one's
what,
ever
it's
said
like
it.
It's like easy to remember. People kind of like.
It is.
I mean, even if people are making fun of it, they're kind of like there's something kind of.
Yeah.
You know,
people are talking about you.
It's true.
Not necessarily that, but they don't. I mean, you get it's like a cool little name for you guys, and then when you're together, you're the Punsters. That's
yeah,
kind of cool.
Oh, we're never
if you
together
call
anymore.
Something else,
we're just not on the show.
I love being an honorary
well, I just mean
punster,
like.
That feels
yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's
yeah.
Cool. You're like, you have a name, you have a thing, you know?
I
empire.
Feel like I'm a part of something.
A media empire.
For the first time in your life, Brittany.
Yeah.
For the first time in
yeah.
Your life.
No, it's good. I don't know what the... I mean, yeah, you guys don't talk about... you don't do puns on your show, but that's irrelevant.
Can
it's
I
kind
ask...
Of like cool
this
moment.
Might get into a really long thing again, but I was thinking the other day about how, you know, people are like, oh, what was, like, your happiest memory or the best day of your life? Like, I can't think of one. Can you guys? I guess yours might be maybe when your kids were
wait,
born or something.
Wait,
I
brought
make
this...
that assumption.
No, I brought this up at, fuck, your really good friend, who is really cool.
Oh, Caitlin?
Yeah, at her birthday party, I asked you guys, what's the most excited
okay.
You've ever been?
Yeah, oh most excited you've ever... That
the
too, but just like,
life.
You know how people are like, have really good memories. I mean, I have good memories, but I can't think of one thing.
I honestly can't think of anything that stands out very specifically.
Well, I don't really have... favorite things. Like, I don't have a favorite movie or a favorite
color. What
about color.
Person?
Well,
Kevin?
I maybe, if you gave me some time, I could probably think of a favorite person.
Stan Clark.
Mine would probably all involve, like, free food.
At least that's simple.
Yeah.
I don't know, I bet you anything it's something small for me. I don't know, that's a tough one. I really want to answer this, but it's so hard right now.
That's very difficult.
I have a couple that I can think of. One of which, the more recent one, well, I'll start with when I was in the fifth grade, I had a really cool teacher who every year instead of doing, like, studying, like, vocab and whatever, his, like, that portion of his class, instead we did a Shakespeare play. So he had fifth graders, like, doing, like, an adapted version of the play, and I found out that I was Macbeth. And I felt really, like, that day, so he actually picked two, and it ended up being, like, I didn't get any of, like, the good plays that we did, and I was really upset about it. But he was like, Jamie, you're Macbeth, and then later on he pulled me aside, and he was like, hey, you need to learn your lines better, though, because even at that age I wasn't studying. And so I sat in my, in a closet downstairs all weekend just reading over this script, which was, like, the most effort that I'd really put in anything at that point. And on Monday, like, we went through a read-through of the play again, and he was like, hey, maybe Friday was a fluke, more or less, whatever, and I just, like, I felt really good, and I was like, this is the part that I wanted, and I feel really secure, like, I loved it, and that was the start of my Shakespeare obsession. And then, more recently, Jake and I went up to San Francisco to hang out for several days, And we used Airbnb, which is like a, where you like basically rent out people's apartments or a room or whatever, like, and it's way
yeah.
cheaper than it would be for a hotel, and way better in my opinion for, I mean, you're living in a place, not some just hotel.
Yeah.
And we climbed out of the window into the backyard, which is a really cute, just sort of like overrun garden. And I'm in actually this lacy green bra that I'm wearing right now, and I don't, maybe shorts or something. We just hung out like in the sunshine, and I'm holding onto a bottle of wine, and just like in this cute, like that was beautiful and magical, and it was sunny and nice, and
yeah,
yeah, disgusting,
yeah.
right?
You're a part of one of her favorite moments, Jake.
Aww, how does that make you feel?
I bet nobody's ever told you that before.
That's
God,
so
yeah,
because
he's the worst, right? God, who would like hanging out with Jake?
No, nobody has. That's very sweet. Yeah, that was a.
Is this your happiest moment right now?
Maybe.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I take it back.
Somebody said.
I was happy because I was around you and I at least had booze to cope with your shit.
I think my happiest is probably a moment with my kids, not necessarily when they were born.
Uh-huh.
I think there was a time when we went to the park together and they were just sitting on my lap eating a nectarine.
Oh.
And we're just sitting in the park together.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so cool that I have, like, just, they're just hanging out with me. They're like my friends.
Yeah.
And we're just there and just staring out at this, like, little creek that goes by. I think it was just, like, enough time had passed by where the difficulty of, we get them, like, because the first couple months are pretty hard, I think any new
yeah.
parent will tell you
when
that.
When your kids aren't even, like, expressing emotion.
Yeah, and then, so that was a good time where they were just, like, really chill and just hanging out with me.
Yeah, I think
and
it's
I
the quiet
like,
moments that stick with you the most.
Yeah, it was just a really nice time, you know? They were just so chill,
yeah.
just sitting on my lap, eating their nectarine, just, like, a really... I have a
yeah.
picture of it, and I got kind of... I think that was probably one of the best moments ever. There's that little thing right there.
It's very sweet.
That does remind me. I mean, this is not anywhere in comparison to children, but I get really, like, I think it's really nice. I love taking my dog to Dog Beach.
Yeah.
And then having people compliment on what a nice dog he is. It Aww. Makes me really proud. That, I really like that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has different things. I don't like when people try to tell me about what's going on, like difficulty in their life, and they're like, well, what am I complaining to you about? You have kids and all this stuff. I'm like, everybody's experiences
yeah.
are their own. You know, if you have your shit, you have your shit. It's whatever.
Yeah. Quiet
you know,
moments that you share
like,
with someone or something else.
Yeah, big moments, I think people try to amp up certain
yeah.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, oh, you know, you're supposed to remember your prom, your wedding day, when your kids are born. I don't fucking give a shit about any of those things. I mean, not saying I don't care that my kids
no,
are born.
No.
But that moment specifically doesn't stick out as the most important day of my life. It was just a lot of stress. I was
yeah.
really worried about my wife because she
yeah.
had to go and get a C-section, and
yeah.
we were born, and my son got taken away into the ICU, and it was just not
oh,
a
yikes.
Fun day.
Yeah.
And you know, it was until after all that was over, and it was just like, now I have these kids, and they're awesome, and
yeah.
they make my life better.
Yeah, it's almost
like that's when it was good. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I think with big moments like that, there's a lot of pressure to make them the most important
yeah.
thing. It's like...
When you try to force something, I don't think it ever makes it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think the
yeah,
big
absolutely.
Moments in life can actually be the most depressing because
yeah.
they're
yeah.
so fleeting.
Yeah, yeah, this will never happen again. That's
yeah.
what I thought always
yeah.
resonates
and
with
And it's so fast and it's already over. I get really depressed when, like, it's a really big thing that you're supposed to look forward to a lot and it finally comes and then it's already over. Like, I actually hate things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it always just goes by. It usually, for me at least, it's always been less exciting than people told me it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, I almost feel like either something's wrong with me or they were lying
yeah.
to me. So.
You know, you just gotta focus on what you're feeling.
Yeah. I just, I mean, I don't know what it is, but I just think that, I mean,
yeah.
I like to make a big deal of that shit.
Mm-hmm. Did you have someone else to say, Jake?
No, I think that's
okay.
Very, very sweet and insightful.
Yeah. Should we end on
God,
a good
is that
note
just
for
my
once?
Thing now? God damn it.
Oh, now I know you're multifaceted and delightful. That's the worst.
Ugh, I feel so shitty.
Everybody
now.
Knows now
yeah.
that you're a great person.
Yeah.
God
the
damn
word
it.
Is out.
Trying to hide it the whole time.
Yeah.
Well,
we,
hi, guys. I'm sorry that I have to let you down like this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hate you like every other comic who slowly reveals that they're a shitty person.
Oh, boy.
It's not too late. I can still reveal I'm a shitty person.
Mm. Sorry,
yeah,
like,
are you secretly racist?
Sexist?
Oh.
Do you want to feed animals? everybody that's should.
A weird animal. Thing. I'm not good with pets though, but I do like animals a lot.
Okay, yeah, there
Jake's
it is.
Jake's not good with dogs either.
That's not. This is a.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
wanna, not true.
Wanna, my kids go fucking crazy for dogs, and I really want to get them a dog, but I'm not good with pets. So I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Did you grow up with a pet at all?
I didn't.
Then that's when you'll.
Maybe
everything
learn.
That you've heard is true.
They
pets
just
are
go
great.
Fucking crazy every time. Like I take them to the park, like almost every day. And
yeah.
You see a dog there, and they fucking go running to it every single time, and I have to stop them from like getting too close just in case the dog.
Get your kids a dog. That was one of like the best relationships growing up, was just with a pet. Like really.
Don't
no.
feel bad about not feeling close to dogs. I mean, Jake grew up with dogs, and he really doesn't like them.
That's not. Not true. Dogs are great. It's my favorite people are dogs.
I think Jake really wants to wrap up. So.
No, I mean we don't have to.
Okay.
Let's end on the truth of Jake
yeah.
hating dogs.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
I think that's really what you want to take
well,
with. Not,
thanks,
not the philosophical
thanks
like appreciation of life and people and
yeah.
moments in your life and other. No.
I do appreciate
Jake
you guys having me on. This was good
of
times.
Course,
this
is.
Was great.
I'm,
yeah,
a, I'm a big fan of all of you guys. Not so much Brittany because I just met you, but you seem cool.
Oh, yeah, she's terrible.
You seem nice.
Do you know she fucking hopped into a limo once with like just
I heard
a
about
random
that.
Limo?
Yeah, I heard about
what
that.
A
she
floozy.
Thought that she could just like
no,
skip
but you have
a
you know
Jesus. Christ.
Seem cool. I like that you're into the sad shit, so that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, welcome
you
to,
know.
I mean, you're
but,
you
like, she's, like,
honorary
so
honorary
smiley
comment.
And stuff, and
yeah.
then to know that she's like, oh, I'm so sad all the
you
time.
Really
just, like,
you really
ham
it up, you piece of
it
shit.
It really makes me feel good inside.
Yeah, it's learning, like, that other comics have their moments of terribleness.
Yeah, no, that's nice.
Not terrible, but...
And that she
yeah.
appreciates the fact that I have all this darkness.
Yeah, no.
It's kind of cool.
No, all
to
the
meet
good
people like that. And,
and if you have a dog, Jake won't want to pet it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, well, let's start wrap up on... everyone's secretly dark inside.
Uh-huh.
I hate...
Beautiful.
But that's okay.
That's okay. It's okay because everybody's got that.
Yeah.
I hate dogs.
Yep.
I think they're terrible. Thanks.
Brittany and Jamie are whores.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, I don't
yeah.
feel like we
no,
need to
I
say
that.
No,
I don't like that. I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either.
Let's not say that. I don't like that.
I can't, I'm pretty sure I can say that.
I don't want to say that.
You don't fucking tell me. You don't tell women what to say. God, David Zaffer's a sexist.
Because
I think
I
it's
didn't
okay.
Call you guys whores. Okay.
It's okay to be sexist if you're like, I don't want to call you guys whores.
Yeah.
That's fine.
No, what did you do?
It,
maybe you are.
Disgusting.
Maybe you are, but I don't think there was anything said in that conversation that implied that. That
yeah,
was true.
I know, David. That's what I was joking about it. Shut up.
I'm
God,
feel bad.
David Zaffer's an idiot.
All right. Yeah, that's a great thing to close.
Come be on the posters, everyone.
I'm glad we could make this work. Thank you for
yeah.
driving all the way down.
It would have been nice if we had some mimosas together, but...
Sorry,
you know what? We will make
I
that
bought,
happen.
I bought champagne and orange juice specifically for this podcast. Now it's just sitting in my fridge. I don't know what to do with it.
We'll make
serious?
It happen, I promise.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because that's what we had agreed on.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa! Why? Okay, you know what? Let's end this fucking... Do you have anything you want to plug?
Just watch Salt Your Own Popcorn.
Woo-woo. Why haven't I been on Salt Your Own Popcorn, asshole?
That is a really good question.
Good answer. All right. Well,
okay.
I'm
wait,
Jamie
nobody
Gale.
Else has any plugs?
No.
I'm headlining Winston's on May 9th.
Oh, that's
nice.
My birthday,
co-headlining.
Too, so...
Brittany,
oh, cool.
Will
are you
going to
feature?
What?
Are you featuring?
No, I will be there, though.
You should tell Jeff. He likes to put people to feature when it's their birthdays.
That's true. So maybe next year.
Great. Yeah.
Great, not gonna happen. Moving on.
Well, it's cool, though. How do you feel about that? I know this is a bad time, but...
No,
excited
no,
about
it's...
Headline?
Yeah, that was probably the maybe one of the coolest moments
yeah.
of my comedy career. Because I don't do the Winston's open mic.
Yeah,
fuck
we were
it.
Just
so,
talking about that recently.
And I don't really see...
And you kind of insulted
Bilodeau.
Him on his podcast.
That's... yeah, okay. As much as I love Jeff Bilodeau, we don't talk that often. I don't see
yeah.
him. So I don't feel like he's doing it out of any sort of obligation to me.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's just doing it on... Like, because he thinks... Assumedly, because he
yeah.
thinks I'm a good comic. Like, that is really...
Yeah.
I it means a lot to me.
Yeah, I'm insanely jealous, and it's impacting mine and Jake's
well, he's been doing
life,
it longer
so.
Than you, hasn't he?
A month. Let's
oh,
not
really?
Get into this right now.
He knows him a little better. He had the same contest
shut
date
up.
As him.
Shut up. He also did a classroom. Shut up. I don't want
yeah,
to hear
see?
It.
Yeah, I was, yeah,
I
did
I want to be bitter, all right?
He asked me to do it when it was, like, one of my worst times in comedy ever. So it was also a big moment. The whole Winston's thing, that place gets a lot of respect, and it should. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a...
I'm sorry for interrupting
yeah.
your closer, but
no,
there
we're
go.
Back
no,
to our
fine.
Tradition of our 20-minute closer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing
yeah.
a show at the Royal Dive. Next month. I can't remember the exact date. It's either, I think it might be the 11th but I'll be up there. And I told my cousin's girlfriend about it, and they live up in North County. So I'm like, hey, you guys should come and finally see me. Like, I know that that's less of a drive for you. So she's like, where at? And I was like, the Royal Dab. She's like, ah, yeah, we'll be there.
Oh, me and Trader are going to be on an Orange County show on the 29th of this month.
Oh,
so if there's any Orange County listeners.
Yeah, Schrader is who I'm co-headlining with.
Cool.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Schrader love, let's hear this.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be up there together for Evan Cassidy's show at La Cave in Orange County. So it's a good thing. And also watch that sketch that we did with Jamie of the St. Patrick's Day one.
Oh, also I'll be at Till 2 the last Tuesday of April.
It's going to be great because we'll do this amazing.
Also, Raul will be there, so it's going to be a Punsters.
Raul
Sombrero. Raul Sombrero. All right, enough fucking around.
Oh, wait. El Frijole. Raul El Frijole Sombrero.
No, that was a good closer. All right.
He's getting more calls.
Let's go. That truly should be the end right there. Just stop it right now.
Okay, wait. Let's include him in the actual zoo.
Do you
want to
close out the show?
Okay.
Sure.
Wait, okay. All right. We'll go around. I've been Jamie Gamlin subbing in for Raul El Frijole Zambrano.
I'm Brittany Herzbrunn.
Jake Disharoon. Thanks to our guests.
David Zafra.
And
Joseph Radner.
Okay.
That was my game show host voice.
All right, that's pretty good. Joseph Redner, thank you. You made the podcast. All right, have a great life.